to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, your host, and with me today is Mr. Crow.
Hello.
He's very energetic tonight, but we're going to kick this off a little bit. We got a little bit of Mercs news. We got some other stuff about Mercs, a lot of Mercs stuff.
What are we talking about? Mercs?
Mercs, yeah. Well, I mean, this is a Mercs show, so.
Yeah.
Kind of comes to the territory. With us tonight from Canada is our regional commander for Canada, Mr. Thaxos.
Hello.
And our regional commander for the East Coast of the United States, Mr. Frost.
Hey, guys. And what this should teach you is that if you want to be a regional commander, get on the podcast.
Yeah, yes. Apparently we have a pretty high adoption rate for regional commanders here.
Yep.
On
yep.
This show.
Yep.
But in recent Mercs news, we actually have placed a ban on a certain type of armor that never really was up to par. It always was being used by newer members who would, you know, buy it on eBay and use it, and it would never pass almost the first, second, third, even the fourth time going through the application process. And the app team finally said, you know what, that's enough. You know, this stuff is not working for people. You may have heard of the seller. He goes by Shubiwan on eBay. It's just his stuff is okay, but it doesn't really meet our standards. In order to get it up to our CRLs, it really you have to put so much work into it. You're basically doubling the cost of the armor just to make it work. So in the interest of all of our members, we went ahead and just said, you know what, just don't use this stuff because, you know, it's a money hole, really.
Subpar. Yeah. Well, you can make your own stuff for less out of similar materials.
And it'll be better.
It'll be better.
Yeah. Way better.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of this particular type of armor, it was a full set made of Sintra, $125. And for less than half of that, you can buy your own sheets of Sintra and cut it out with, you know, a knife.
Yeah. Well, like a quarter of that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you can find, I mean, you could technically do it for free if you know a good science shop that has large throwaway pieces.
Yeah. Well, it's about 30, 40 bucks for a sheet of Sintra. So.
Yeah, really. I mean,
to a quarter.
Some good resources for stuff like that is like usplastics.com. If you're in the US, you can buy entire sheets of it. Don't get the giant sheets, like the 96 inch ones, but if you get like the 48 inch wide ones, they run about $30 a sheet. You can make most of a set of armor out of one sheet, and just it comes right in the mail.
What size sheet is that? 4 foot by 8 foot?
Or 4x4? I did the 4x2, I think.
Oh, 4x2, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because the 4x8 will do you two full suits, basically, if you got the spacing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you do a 4x2, I mean, it's like 30 or 40 bucks. You can get it in black, which looks great if you happen to nick the paint off. It doesn't show up as bad as, like, the white Sintra that you might see.
Yeah, it just looks like dirt and grime.
Yeah, and even better, if you're doing, like, a tan suit, you know, tan armor, they make it in tan. They make it in green, and you can get all these kind of colors. So you can get one that kind of matches, you know, closely or looks good enough. And if you ding your paint on a doorway or something, it's not going to look bad.
Yep, you get an automatic base coat that way. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you can also do the same with black.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Shubi one, like, one of the problems with it is that you look at a picture of it on eBay, or we've had a couple comparison pictures put up on the boards, and it doesn't look like it's a money hole until you start wearing it.
Yep.
Yeah, it often requires a lot of reshaping because it comes pre-shaped with a heat gun.
It's poorly shaped, is what it is primarily.
Yeah. And I mean, for all the time and effort you're going to put into it and money really just to fix it up, I mean, it's going to be, you can get even like full sets of metal armor off the boards in the training station for cheaper than that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And yeah, it's just a bad resource to start off with. If you know what you're doing, you might be able to make it work. But we're just going to go ahead and say, you know. Don't you should be one armor.
Yeah,
no. That's going to be in effect on August
1st.
August 1st, yeah.
Yep.
So we're giving members a grace period. You know, if you've already bought it and, you know, you end up wanting to use it, you have, you know, those few months to try to get it to that level. After that, we're not going to accept it anymore.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, is that anyone that's already used it, they're obviously grandfathered in. They don't have to go and buy a new set of armor.
Yes.
If you've already gotten approved by that.
Yeah.
Let's repeat that so everybody hears it. If you already are approved with Shubi One armor, you do not have to change it. We'd encourage you to if you want to, but
although
we're not going to ask you.
Yeah.
No, not by any means.
No.
Given the fact that they've already gotten approved, likely they've made enough changes that it doesn't look
terrifying.
Such poor quality anymore, either.
Yeah, they've already spent enough money on it.
Yeah.
Don't need to be doing more.
Now, I believe if someone was to inadvertently purchase it at a later date, as long as they don't try and cover up, if someone asks, say, did you buy Shubi Wan armor, and they say no, then that would be a problem. If they do say, though, that yes, it's Shubi Wan, I didn't realize at the time, and they bought it, as long as they do the necessary work, I believe they can still get approved with it.
But we'll just avoid that area. Situation.
Best bet, don't go for it. Yeah. If you accidentally get it later on, well, you know, if you find out that a friend's gotten it later on, you can obviously tell them, hey, you're going to have to put a lot of work in here.
Yeah, and that's an important point, too, is that when you're putting in your application, be honest.
Yeah.
Really be honest, because if you read the fine print in there, if any part of your application turns out to be false and you do it knowingly false, it voids that app. So don't do that.
Do it enough. We just won't take a period. No one's ever done it enough, but you know.
So what do you guys use for your plates, just for reference?
Aluminum.
Yeah, aluminum.
One at a time.
All right, yeah, Frost, go.
I have aluminum that was made by Theo Yer on the forums.
Thaxos?
I have aluminum armor as well that was done up by myself.
Bio?
I have Sintra armor. It's a mix of 3 and 6 millimeter Sintra, and I got mine through US Plastics. So I was very happy with it.
Mine is it's sort of a half and half. Like the lower layer of it is a Rubbermaid tote, like, you know, you can get at Walmart, and makes an excellent set of plates if you're willing to put the time into it. And then to help it keep its shape and give it more thickness and awesomeness, I've got I forget what gauge, some pretty thin gauge steel riveted right on top of it.
Excellent.
Yep.
And something to keep in mind with this stuff is that, I mean, it just takes a heat gun to mold it, with Sintra, at least, not with metal.
Yeah.
With metal, you require much more force.
Yeah, you need tools.
Grab a hand.
Yeah, well, and you need experience.
Yeah.
Well, you can teach yourself if you really need to, or find someone local.
It's all learning experience.
Yeah, best experience is just getting a sheet of metal from Lowe's or Home Depot or what have you, and just messing around with it.
Yeah, best. And there's plenty of information online for shaping and doing armor out of metal, because, I mean, you got not only the guys that do the Star Wars stuff with it, but you've also got all the medieval and fantasy armor guys. So between the SCA, which is, you know, trying to be completely accurate, to just people that make crazy cool medieval style armor, plenty of references.
Yeah, and just for actually future reference, if you do or you are looking for a set of armor, you're looking for materials, Lowe's, Home Depot, US Plastics, you can even find some on the boards. I know that this is an exclusive list, but Cram Zarati makes some metal armor that can work. There's a lot of other traders on the trading station that make armor and sell it. Mandalore, our leader, does it every now and then.
Yeah.
IOA, so, I mean, there's a lot of resources. So losing this one isn't really...
Yeah. IOA produces a full set of VAC-formed armor, too, I believe.
Who does?
Mm-hmm.
IOA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep, he still makes that.
He's got good stuff there, too. So there's a bunch of guys. Just take a look on the trading station in the Mandalorian Supply Depot. The final hope.
Yeah. You will never, never be able to look someone straight in the face and tell them without lying that you were not able to find a resource that could provide you armor for money.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. So, moving on a little bit, if you haven't heard, the Mercs has a scholarship now. If you're attending a higher education school, you can apply to receive a small scholarship to help you pay for things like books and whatever you need to. I believe, Thaxos, do you know the date on that?
For when you have to apply by? Yes. The new date or the old date? Because it's actually been changed just recently.
Well, let's go with a new date then.
One sec here. It should be... Hang on.
Canadian Research Skills at Work.
I knew it off the top of my head. September 30th?
That sounds about right, yeah. It was...
It's what
I believe it was August before. We're going July.
Yeah, it was end of July before, and now it's end of September.
Yep.
And then something else had been changed to end of October. I will find out in a second here.
Yeah. And like everything we talk about here, there is a thread for it in the forums, usually right under the announcements section, right at the top of the boards.
Yep. And so, I mean, we don't require any kind of proof of grades or anything. We just need to know that you are enrolled in higher education, and that's anything from like a college to a vocational school to a community college, you know, any place that is beyond your normal, you know, K through 12 kind of learning environment.
Here we are. Okay, so the previous date for submitting your application was July 31st. The new date to have it submitted by is September 30th. So if you want to be proactive and just try and get it in by July 31st anyways, that way you can't possibly be late, that'd be good. And then the announcements of the recipients was going to be in October 2013. It's now been moved to November 2013.
Awesome. So what do people have to do to apply?
The application itself, if they just go onto the boards and check the announcements section, it'll say Mandalorian Merc Scholarship, now taking applications for recipients. Click on that. And there is a link right into the post that Cajun has made. It says, please download and complete the application. You click on that. And once you've filled that out and you make sure everything has the, make sure that it has the completed application with sign-off by your ALRAD regional commander or council member, as long as you get someone to sign off on that. You've got your short essay, resume, and school transcript before mailing it off. Obviously, the information for mailing it will be involved with the application itself. I'm not sure off the top of my head what that is. And if you have any questions, you can, of course, email or you can PM Cajun, or you can email scholarshipinfo@mandalorianmercs.com.
Excellent. So something else that we wanted to take a brief moment to talk about today was the tornadoes that just hit in Oklahoma. Yeah. Terrible, terrible stuff out there. I mean, tornadoes, unfortunately, are kind of a way of life out in that area, but this one I think is the worst one in something like 25 years or longer.
It was an F4, so it was
actually they've upgraded to an F5 at last.
Oh, was it? Okay, yep. So it is the worst possible of tornadoes that could have been out there.
And if you haven't heard, I mean, it's like, I think what I heard was that it was a 2 mile wide and it lasted for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's absolutely horrendous. Winds estimated 210 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's absolutely awful. If you haven't heard, I think it was Moore, Oklahoma. It was almost completely devastated. Hundreds, you know, all the homes, hospitals, schools all hit. I think last I heard there was something like 91 people had been lost, hundreds injured. So we say all this morbid stuff because we've actually opened a fundraiser for them. We're going to try to collect $5,000 to send it to the relief fund for them. So if you can come to the boards, if you can spare $5, $10, $25, whatever you can spare, it will go towards a good cause. You can find that right on our forum on the right-hand side. Just come to MandalorianMercs.com and look for the red banner. So yeah, if you can come and help donate to that, that'd be great. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more Star Wars news, some of the film stuff, some of the game stuff. Should be a lot of fun.
Attention forum members. Ad-free browsing, advanced armor templates, and other rewards are within your grasp. Become a supporter of the Mercs and receive access to our social boards, less ads, and armor templates for as little as 50 cents. Auxiliary members gain access to members-only merch, convention rooms, and all of the supporter perks for only $12 a year. $1 a month. Visit the Mandalorian Mercs website for more info on how you can support your favorite costuming club.
So, let's get into the Star Wars news stuff for the month. If you haven't heard, they're filming the new films in the UK, which is pretty awesome because that's where they filmed all the old ones.
Therefore, not terribly surprising.
Yep.
Not terribly.
No. I mean,
but interesting.
Yeah.
So if you want to be an extra, go to Celebration Europe and then just stay there.
Yeah, just hang around Britain and look for casting calls.
Just walk around in full armor. No, we don't actually recommend that.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, not in Britain. That probably wouldn't work too well. Some other stuff. EA has signed on, and they're going to be doing the new Star Wars games.
Yep. They'll be publishing. So that doesn't necessarily mean that EA itself is doing all the games, but they can get, you know, DICE or BioWare. They got a bunch of different.
Yeah, basically publishing means that they put up the capital to make the CDs and put it out in the stores.
Yeah.
So that means, I mean, EA is like the biggest game development publishing studio conglomerate like in the world, so that's pretty big. Not unsurprising, although I have some reservations about it, I think.
As well,
many of you do.
Who doesn't? And let's not go too much into that, because no matter what Star Wars news you get, there's always some portion of the fan base that goes, "What is this?"
Well, no, I mean, my thing is more about like DRM stuff, because EA seems to be really bad about that.
Yes, they are pretty bad about that.
And well, so, I mean, if you're trying to play any of these games on computers, like you're gonna require an internet connection. It's gonna be like it's just so much stupid stuff on top, in my opinion.
Well, they wet themselves with glee when they heard that the new consoles were going to be always online.
Yeah, I was about to say, not to bring that up too much, but the new consoles are also pushing for online all the time.
Yeah, the Xbox One, they came out and said that you wouldn't have to have always on functionality,
but at least once a day.
But it needs to ping your system regularly.
Once per day is what I heard.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
And isn't there something about like used games now too on the new Xbox?
Yeah, you're basically going to have to
use
buy
it, but you can't,
you're going to have to buy a CD key again, pretty much.
But yeah, you cannot play used games online.
Yeah.
You can however trade online apparently.
But
this is
all recent news. Like this is like a couple hours ago, so
yeah.
There's probably a little bit of misinformation.
I'm sure
here,
there'll be more information by the time you hear this.
A lot of this will also be changed.
What I heard was that you could buy used games, but that you couldn't install them to your hard drive.
Mm.
Like you could buy and play, but you just couldn't install them.
Hmm.
So like people were installing the games and then like selling the disc back.
Point is, we're getting new Star Wars games, and it's gonna be good.
It should be good. Hopefully.
Yeah.
You never know. But along with that, there were some new URLs bought by Lucasfilm. Stuff like Gungan Frontier 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep.
I am so stoked for Gungan Frontier. It's gonna be
played it. Was it actually good?
It really was.
It was fun.
Bad. It was a nice little world-building sim, you know?
Yeah.
Think kind of Age of Empires-ish, but without
without any combat whatsoever.
Yeah, it was very child friendly.
Yeah. But it wasn't too bad.
Is that why you guys liked it so much?
Well,
I mean, I was a child at the time, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean,
I read that URL list and I was like, wow, they still can't get away from Gungans.
Well, that I remember. The best thing about it was, I mean, you had to like pick the plants and animals you're basically going to terraform this moon with, and if you picked the wrong ones, you would watch everything die in front of you.
That's not really child fun, is it?
Let's not say it wasn't violent.
I mean, you could have rancors as one of the animals you picked, and they do nothing but eat everything else.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting.
I remember generating an animal, or at least attempting to generate an animal that was a pack hunter. The AI wasn't strong enough to support that, but
it was good times.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could generate animals that just would attempt to murder rancors.
Yep.
Which then get murdered by Rancor.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was no Star Wars pod racing, but, you know.
Yeah, man, the pod racer game for N64?
Yeah.
That was good.
So, one racer.
Oh, yeah.
Now this is pod racing.
Yeah, I never played the Bombad racing, though. I think that was...
That's a good choice. Nope.
That was terrible. It was trying to cash in on the Diddy Kong racing phenomenon.
That was the one to avoid.
Because it was 10 years too late.
Yeah, there was a Diddy Kong racing phenomenon.
Yeah, dude. Diddy Kong Racing, Mario Kart, all that jazz.
Well, you ever played Diddy Kong Racing? That was like the first game I ever played on N64.
I played Mario Kart to death, but I never played Diddy Kong Racing.
It was the counter.
Well, it wasn't the counter. They're both made by Nintendo. Diddy Kong Racing was the upgraded, better version of Mario Kart.
Well, you know what I mean. It was before
Mario Kart
the Mario
2.
Series, and then you got the
yeah.
Series.
But there were like planes and hovercrafts and
all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, never played that.
A lot of balloons too. Like you had to like fly. I think flying a plane through a bunch of balloons is a bad idea.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know that. Planes nowadays have like specialized rotors that can shred birds, so I don't think a balloon's gonna be a problem.
but it's a plane being flown by a monkey.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. It's out there.
Well, we've sent monkeys to space, so I think they can handle a plane.
Yeah, if they can fly to space, they can do anything.
Yeah. But a couple other interesting URLs: Order 67, Bothan Spies.
That one, I think that one's a reach. Just saying.
Wookiee Hunters, and Star Wars Wolfpack.
Wookiee Hunters would be interesting if the title were better.
Well, Star Wars Wolfpack, I'm really hoping is like
submarines.
Clone Wars Wolfpack.
No, I really want it to be like Silent Hunter, like but with a Star Destroyer.
That would be cool.
That'd be good.
But
I mean, like the submarine warfare type stuff?
Yeah.
Well, sort of. That's what Silent Hunter is. But, I mean, it's obviously in space. And then they would dumb it down so that way it could be played by the proletariat. And,
cool. Big words.
And, I mean, it would probably end up playing a lot like Starfleet Command, would be my guess, which is also a great game.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you guys said earlier that there was like a Battlefront 3?
Yes.
That's a
unofficially announced it.
Development, and they also had 1313, and what they did is they kind of shelved both, but they had said they were pretty close to getting Star Wars First Assault, which was kind of the precursor to Battlefront 3, to kind of test the waters. They were going to release that through Xbox. So hopefully they do something with that still. To be noted, however, it has been said that EA is not planning to ship any new Star Wars games before April 2014, since that's start of their next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. That gives more development time. I'm cool with
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then that gives them a year of ramp up to get more hype about the new movies.
Yeah.
Also fine.
Well, between Visceral Games, DICE, and BioWare, I think they're going to do pretty well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather see them do a full, complete game rather than rush, get half a game out, have release day DLC, and then more DLC later.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of...
Sounds like something they may have done before.
Shh. We're going to hope that doesn't happen this time.
There was a lot of trepidation about this whole, you know, LucasArts going away and even EA taking over. But, you know, I think really, in my opinion, Disney is doing things right for the long term.
Yeah.
Well, they know how to play the long term game.
Yeah.
Well, and they understand that you have to invest in children to pick up a future audience.
Yeah.
Which is kind of evil.
Which is what the Clone Wars did. I mean, the Clone Wars was absolutely brilliant. I know a bunch of like 13, 14 year olds who started watching Clone Wars when they were like 9, and they think it's fantastic.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, just look at it. Like all the little kids that come out to, you know, various events that we're at, and they're like, "Oh, you're Mandalorians," and "Oh, you're 9," and they just get so excited because they know exactly what we are.
Unlike
instead which is of, nice for change.
Yeah, yeah, instead of, oh, sweet, Power Rangers.
Yeah, for those of you that weren't in the club back in like 2007 and 8, that was pretty much what we got left and right.
I got Chewbacca once.
I still get that now. Like, I was at...
Well, you obviously need to update your paint scheme then.
Hey, nothing...
Crow looks nothing like... I mean, maybe
the
he looks
Black Ranger thing. Is awesome. You shut your mouth.
I'm not saying the Black Ranger's not awesome. I'm just saying you may want to update your paint scheme so you look a bit more man.
But yeah, back in the early days, people have pretty bright colored armor, and that was rampant.
Yeah.
I guess the final big piece of news is the Star Wars Rebels
TV show.
Yeah. So they canceled the Clone Wars. They have some leftover footage, which have they said how they're going to release that stuff?
They haven't said exactly.
Probably on a DVD.
Well, it could be, perhaps, yeah. Or it
correction,
could be
Blu-ray.
Or
I actually heard one theory that they might take that footage and try to roll it into a prequel thing to the new films.
Yeah, that could be what they do, is kind of use that as a ramp up to the new one.
Yeah.
Play, have, you know, like a special time where they play the finishing off portion that they have, and then right at the end put a teaser for the new show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
speaking of the new show,
from what I've heard, it's basically essentially a cartoon version of what the that live action show that's been in production for 30 years is supposed to be.
yeah
it's like supposed to be up. It's supposed to be, look, it's the dark times, guys.
Yeah, like
everything is bad. And it actually is bad. I mean, if you ever read any novels that take place in that time, things actually are pretty bad.
Oh yeah,
Empire's in full swing, full charge. So
yeah, I mean, they're abusing citizens left and right, and
rebellion is still only just barely a thing.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, imagine totalitarian like intergalactic ruling. That's pretty much what.
Well, I mean, Death Star alone, you got mass Wookiee slavery. The whole Wookiee planet's being abused and thrown over to the Death Star for.
But then again, this show is probably going to be targeted to 7-year-olds, so...
I'm not too sure. I mean, given...
I don't mind.
Granted, well, I mean, the
Clone
show...
Clone Wars was targeted to 9-year-olds, and a
wait,
bunch
wait,
of
wait,
us...
Wait, Crow, you don't mind that slavery might be...
No, I don't
mind. ...targeted to 7-year-olds?
They did have some episodes that did touch upon that already.
Yeah, there have been... Oh, yeah, every episode with Twi'leks was about slavery.
Yep.
They had an episode about...
And half the ones about with clones, too.
Yeah. And you had the episode with the Trandoshan slavers, too. I mean, it's in there.
Yeah, slavery, especially in the later seasons, was a pretty heavy topic. And, I mean, the universal message is slavery is bad, so why worry about it?
I mean, unless you're on one of those droid episodes, it's really not that cheery, bright, happy-go-lucky type stuff that people make it out to be.
Well, even the cheery episodes, there's an episode where R2 and 3PO destroy at least two alien civilizations.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. Huh. Anyways, but the one-hour pilot is in production. It says it's animated. I'm not too sure if they mean, like, Clone Wars animation or actual...
I think it would be kind of hard for them to move away from that. I mean, they have a whole library of weapons and shading techniques and everything already built up.
And they're
already
geared up for that, too.
Yeah, to throw that, I mean, they already have all the resources they need. They just need to bring teams back in to use those.
Yeah, and the show is going to air in autumn of 2014 on the Disney Channel before moving into a regular slot on Disney XD. I think that's another one of the Disney channels.
Yep.
That they've got there.
It's the Cartoon Network of Disney.
Yeah, which kind of plays into what we had speculated earlier, which is that now that Disney owns it, they'll probably stop the Clone Wars, which lets them finish their contract earlier than they probably had otherwise with Cartoon Network, and then move it to Disney, since Disney now owns it. Why wouldn't they have it on their own channel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to any naysayers, Dave Filoni is coming back to work on this.
Oh, yeah. No, he still works for Lucas.
Yeah, one of the guys from Gargoyles is working on it. Mm-hmm. I think Greg Weiss, I think is his name.
Hopefully some of the people that were let go by Disney will be... Or let go by Disney
If they use the same resources, they will probably be bringing some of those teams back.
Yeah. Basically what it all is they're just reconsolidating it under Disney's name.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Yeah, because that might have been something... Like, if they fired everybody, then they get out of their contract faster.
Now
they can rehire them.
On their terms, yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully. I mean, I hope that very talented people, I hope they get the job.
I'm hoping that was Disney's very skillful way of saying, no, we promise we love you, everyone. Please trust us.
Well, I mean, it kind of plays into that, given that they're putting it on the Disney Channel now and they've, you know, switched over to Rebels. Yeah. They probably just went, well, I don't think we can milk this Clone Wars for too much longer, so let's just chop it early and head over to Rebels and get that underway full bore.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's supposed to be like the formation of the Rebels and their early fights, I guess?
Yeah. We're going
to see how Galen Merrick plays into that, as well as...
Well, I heard from somebody that's not, like, canon enough. Like, they might throw that away and make that, like, an alternate timeline.
Well, they can basically...
No alternate timelines in Star Wars.
Yeah, please no alternate timelines.
No, like, basically saying that the Galen Merrick stuff was just, like, a fanciful game. And then this is
There's novels for it too, so that gets a bit trickier.
Once
they start knocking novels out, anything's fair game.
Well, they did the same thing to Republic Commando.
Not really.
Not really. Just they just said that Karen Travis was wrong.
Well, I don't know if we want to get into this too much, but what exactly did they say Karen Travis was wrong? Because from everything that I've seen, the Clone Wars show didn't really negate much of anything in the books. It just happened to show a different element. It's like going to Kashyyyk and saying, hey, look, it's a giant planet full of trees. Well, later on you find out, no, there's actually lakes and swamps and whatnot. It's not just one single biome.
Well, it was mostly for Karen Travis, from what I understand, I may entirely be wrong, but I figured it was mostly just about timelines for the most part.
Most
of the issues between her and LucasArts came about or when they released the essential chronology.
Yeah.
So I mean, there was a lot of other stuff that I really have no idea.
Yeah, I'm no expert by far. But for all I know, Karen Travis may have been told different things when they had first approached it.
Sure.
And then some things may not have actually come to fruition, which changes how things ended up coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We will never know because she's under contract.
Yeah.
Or under, I don't say contract, but
yeah, contract.
Disclaimer.
Well, it's a contract.
It's the underlying terms of the contract that she had.
Yeah.
It stays in effect. But
any author will tell you that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However,
so it should be interesting. I kind of hope they don't focus on the whole Galen Merrick thing, because I think the story's a little Mary Sue-ish.
I don't think they will. It has been said that the new show is expected to reveal what happens to the two Skywalker twins, Luke and Leia. So we will see that.
Well, we already know what happens if it's...
Well, yes, but it'll go more into, like, the time of them growing up.
We're gonna see a lot of 8-year-old Luke, is what he's saying.
And yeah.
But that means we might also see 8-year-old Biggs. Which
you better be wearing a cape.
Does he have a mustache? Yeah, like I want to see a little 8-year-old mustache kid running around in the desert.
Does he have that much testosterone? Is he already?
He's rocking.
Also older than Luke, so Biggs would be 12. So him having a mustache would be at least
it could be started.
Maybe not reasonable, but at least not impossible. Hey,
I had a mustache when I was 12. Just saying.
We could also see a lot of interaction between Ben, who's trying to watch over Luke, and Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yep.
Which could be interesting.
Don't keep out an eye on us.
Well,
stop prevent my kid from dying.
And perhaps, I mean, there was that one comic which isn't quite canon where Darth Maul attacks Obi-Wan on Tatooine.
I think that's fairly canon now.
Yeah.
It's entirely plausible.
What we could see is either that recurring or perhaps someone else being sent from the Empire to track down Luke and Leia and perhaps the outcome of that. But, I mean, you know, all speculation there. But
I don't know how well that would play out, though, because, I mean, they pretty much establish in the films that they're pretty well hidden.
Yeah, no one has.
I mean, even Leia, like in the books and stuff, like she's walking around doing Imperial stuff. She's in the Imperial Senate.
Yeah, it's I'm guessing not for Leia, but I mean for Luke, there was that one Darth Maul comic that could happen, that could not. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Well,
I think they've done enough.
He just knew that Obi-Wan was there.
Yeah.
Now I think this does play into that URL we had mentioned, Order 67. You know, Lucasfilm said that Star Wars Rebels takes place in a time where the Empire is securing its grip in the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire is taking shape. So what we could see is a lot of Jedi hunting and, you know, killing off of Jedi, although that would put it pretty dark. So we'll see how much they go into
that. We're not sure how dark they want to go on the 8-year-olds.
We may very well just follow along some Jedi who are trying to survive and escape and run into the Empire, but escape in the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how they want to go with it. That said, I mean, by the time the Clone Wars was kind of finishing up, they had a lot of pretty dark scenes. You had Ventress, you know, beheading a guy, and
yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff was obviously done off screen, but it was.
I'd be willing to bet they're going to bring Yoda in, because I mean, in Empire, you know, he talks a little bit about how, you know, oh, for a long time I've watched this one. I mean, it may not be like a direct interaction kind of thing, but I mean,
we'll probably see a little bit of Yoda there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll probably glance at different people's lives. Hopefully, we see a little bit of Lando. That would be cool.
That would be nice. Yeah.
You know, that actually does bring up a good thing because, you know, one of the other guys that's working on this is from Young Justice.
Yeah.
Or is that one of the guys we already mentioned? I'm not sure. So yeah, little 8-year-old Luke Lando and
a slightly older Han Solo.
And Lando's adult an adult Wookiee.
Well, Han Solo isn't all that old.
No, but
yeah,
he's
maybe what, like 15, something like that.
Yeah, he's like I think he's 5 years older than Luke is.
Yeah,
Han was supposed to be in his 30s.
Yeah,
he would be entering
30s,
into the Imperial Academy, though, wouldn't he? We could perhaps see the whole origin story of Chewbacca and Han Solo there
at 15.
Well, not in the very first year, but I mean when he goes into the Imperial Academy
and probably gets kicked out. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it takes a little while.
Well, I forget how far along he goes. It's been a while since I read the Han Solo novels.
They could have a couple episodes showing off kind of.
He was a stormtrooper, wasn't he?
Pilot.
He was in the army.
Yeah.
No, Han Solo was a stormtrooper.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a stormtrooper. Yep.
Oh,
it was Biggs
was,
that was
he
a.
Was. Biggs was a pilot. Tyka was a pilot. Yeah.
Well,
see,
basically,
they could make any. They could just pick any series of the early novels.
Yep.
And make several episodes out of them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think it'd be really cool to see the Imperial Academy. And
I mean, you'll definitely see Luke racing his T-16. Eventually, maybe. I mean,
well,
I don't think they're going to start when, like, Luke is, like, 6. I don't think that's going to happen, because there's not much story to tell there, really.
No,
I think it's going to start when they're, like, 15 or something. Or
no,
or
they really could just not focus on any of the main characters from the movies at all, as well. They could just make up a completely different route.
That is also the left field solution, yes.
I don't think they're going to focus solely on them, but I think we'll see glimpses here and there.
Yeah, the basic premise of the original live action show was, you know, it would have its own core cast of characters who would become major characters and major players in Star Wars. But I mean, you might get glimpses of the primary cast. You know, we'll certainly see Darth Vader.
Well, consider
like almost guaranteed if this is about the Empire tightening its grip, he is the grip. So.
But, I mean, if you consider the Clone Wars series and how we had the occasional droids episode, we may very well have the occasional Han Solo in Imperial Academy, or Luke and Leia, what's going on with them.
Or
you know,
the
just as in between story arcs, they would put those in. To kind
of. Or this could all end up like a really long, drawn-out Star Wars version of Scooby-Doo Kids.
Oh, God.
Don't jinx it. If that happens, I'm holding you responsible, Ian.
If you don't remember Scooby-Doo Kids, it's a lot like Muppet Babies. So
I liked Muppet Babies. But again,
yes, but
I
you're
was
also
six.
Wrong.
You're also the Black Power Ranger, so.
Hey. Don't.
So we're
going
to go to
Tommy
a quick
becomes
now.
The Black Power Ranger eventually.
Yeah.
That makes him cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Power Ranger's cool.
And we are moving on.
Black Power Ranger.
So we're
going to
take a quick commercial
gun.
Break, and then we're going to come back, answer some questions from Facebook, go into some armor stuff. We'll see you there.
Come visit scenic Tatooine. See sand, rocks, sky, and more sand. Take tours of the Junlin Wastes and see local inhabitants. And the diverse local wildlife. Visit Tatooine, care of the Mos Eisley Tourism Committee.
Welcome back. We're going to talk a little bit, but we got some questions from Facebook. And this is actually a kind of a major topic, so we're going to actually make it a whole topic on its own. Jeff Dumain asked on our KTR Facebook page about animated versus live-action weaponry and armor, and is there intermixing allowed? Go.
Yes.
Yes, you are. You can mix.
To Damn. A point.
Well, okay, unless you're making your weapon out of just a block of cardboard, which you're not allowed to do anyway. I mean,
basically, what the question had come up was that people were seeing some animated style weapons on movie style kits, not animated on animated, or, you know.
Yes.
Realistically speaking, by the time you put in the work to make the animated style weapon look good, chances are it'll look and fit in pretty well with your real kit. The other thing is that it makes a whole lot more work for the approval team to try and make sure that no one's using an animated blaster. Or someone can always, you know, go and grab one, use it later after they've already applied. And it tends to not really be worth the hassle for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there is some stylistic choices and stuff like the helmets and the armor, and that's something you can't get away from. I mean, Clone Wars had a very definite art style to it.
Use your judgment.
Well, I'd also like to point out that if you look at somebody's, you know, we've had some people make canon Death Watch grunts and all that sort of stuff, and even with the cartoon styling, you know, basic lines, it still looks like a set of armor. I mean, you're not cel-shaded being a real person.
Well, and you're also not weighing like 80 pounds, because all those guys are really skinny on the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Also real spry.
Yeah.
They also have two-thirds of their entire body as legs.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, when you take all those things into consideration, you know, if you have...
If you're not an anime character.
Yeah. If you have a Death Watch grunt holding an E-11, he's still going to look fine. You know, likewise, if you have one of the Death Watch grunt blasters that's been made properly and looks good by any judgment being held by a Boba Fett, it's really not going to look that out of place unless you're really picking it apart.
Well, on Boba Fett himself, it might stand out a bit more. On more of the custom Mandalorians,
I mean,
I definitely don't...
Either
don't
way, I mean, it's a gun's a gun, really.
That's
as
true,
long as
yeah.
it's been
yeah.
done well.
But keep in mind, you know, if you're doing a canon character, like the canon Death Watch guys, the canon...
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, you need to stick to that style. But also, I mean, if you're just making your own custom kit,
yeah,
try to keep in mind that art style, because if you're wanting to use a lot of like Clone Wars heavy equipment, like the helmet and the guns and stuff, when you're designing the rest of your armor, you know, try to take those design considerations into mind, because those simpler lines and the proportions, you know, they will enhance what you already have.
That said, the for example, the Pre-Vizsla helmet, we've got a bunch of members that have been using that recently and seems quite popular. Vet Nast has a great kit, and he's, you know, the rest of his armor is pretty real world, or, you know, more movie style, but it still blends well with the armor, and he's made it work given the paint job and everything like that. So, I mean, really, take a look at that. and some of the other people that have used it, and you can kind of get a sense of what's too animated and what's too, you know, how far to go before it kind of looks out of place.
Yeah. I mean, the line is really blurred. I mean, like really Padme Amidala's blaster from The Phantom Menace looks very animated, cartoony style. I mean, you just can't escape some of this stuff.
Yeah, and, or the West Star 34s for Jango Fett.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which half of us use, myself included.
So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of cross, you know, take into account.
Pollinization.
Yeah.
There we go. That was the word I was looking for.
So it goes back. I mean, if you can make it look good, then chances are it'll work.
And the other thing to consider is that the general public will have no idea which one's animated versus otherwise, except for the kids that have watched the shows fervently.
And they'll just be and excited
will,
anyway.
And the kids will not give you as much crap as they will if you use a Nerf blaster.
Yep.
That indeed.
Yep.
Yeah.
They will know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing ever, going to a troop and having a little 8-year-old kid say, "Oh, I've got one of those at home."
Like, okay, shut up. Yeah.
And you can't speak to the children like that.
I know, that's the great thing and the horrible thing about kids is that they're brutally honest and they just blurt stuff out. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
Some of the other questions from our Facebook page. Rubbin Buff versus Primer from Kevin Melcher.
That's not actually a question.
No.
But it does raise some good points.
It is a statement. I will say, I mean, if you're trying to compare those things, a Rubbin Buff tends to be more for shiny stuff. It's like finishing or a top coat.
I'm not really sure I understand the statement, because Rubbin Buff is going to give you your silver undercoat. Primer is just going to be that base layer coat so that way the rest of your paint adheres.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always heard in the past that you shouldn't try to paint on top of Rubbin Buff, but
it's doable.
It's well, Rubbin
the
Buff
reason
is
they
wax
say
it's based.
Yeah, as Eric's saying.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's wax based, and thus you can't really like it. It's not going to hold paint very well.
You'd have to prime the Rubbin Buff,
which, however, is fine for our armor because we want battle damage. So if paint chips off and the Rubbin Buff remains, that's fine. I think it's more so that is not recommended given other people that try and use Rubbin Buff under it for some reason and then paint over.
You can try it. I logically, to me, it would make sense to do a Rubbin Buff, let it sit for like a week or two so that all of the moisture in it evaporates.
Yeah.
And then do a top coat of just clear coat paint and let that, you know, seal in all of that and then paint on top of that so that you don't have any. So you make sure that there's no like issues with bubbling or spider webbing.
Yeah. And when in doubt, just get a piece of scrap material and test it out first. That way you're not, you haven't gotten, you know, 30 hours into painting it and suddenly realize that the entire thing is orange peeling.
Yeah. Or do what I do and you accidentally paint the gray stripes on your helmet. It's a completely wrong color.
Yep.
What color did you do?
It was a slightly lighter gray.
But when it's the only light gray on your entire armor, someone's gonna notice.
Yeah. Well, I noticed immediately. I was like, this is way too light. I look like... And then I said the name of some people from Talon Clan who I looked like.
Primer, obviously, it's a... I say obviously a lot, don't I?
You do.
You do.
You do. Obviously.
I need to stop that. Darn. Okay.
You obviously do.
Primer is good for helping paint adhere. That's really where you want to use that. It's also great for seeing imperfections in your armor when you're sanding it, and there's little scratches, little dents and divots there. You'll see those much better with primer because it's just one solid color, and you can see the shadows much easier.
Yeah, if you ever think you're
the clue's
done,
kind of in the name.
Yeah, if you ever think you're primer done sanding, especially you're on
wrong.
Helmets, yeah, you're wrong. Yeah, just
you're
go give it a quick blast of primer. Doesn't matter the color, though. Light colored primers you'll see everything. You'll see every nick and scratch and divot and everything. And then you'll sand it off and
even
put
just
more
like,
Bondo
like bumps on. Where the corner, like if you do Pepperkura, you're gonna have corners and stuff that you don't see unless you do primer.
Yep.
Yeah. So then you have one of two options: either sand it like crazy, or turn that
or
those imperfections. No, or you could Bondo it. Yeah.
Yep.
That involves more sanding, anyways. Or you can turn those imperfections into weathering.
Yep.
Yeah.
Highlight them with some black wash, acrylic, or brown, and you're good to go.
Yep. If you mess up armor, if you break it, if you crack your helmet,
battle damage.
Yeah.
Battle damage. Put that sucker back together and just make it look good.
The back of my helmet, I dropped it at a troop, and the back just huge crack right up the right near the key slots. I now have a metal plate riveted to the back of the helmet, holding the whole thing together and looking like an awesome field repair.
Staples.
Yep.
Staples can work in. And also hot glue, you can make it look like a welding line if you do like little beads along the line, mm-hmm. and then you paint it and do weathering with it.
Done properly, yeah. You want to make sure you don't just goop it all over. I've seen some people that just paint over hot glue as is, and you need to practice the technique a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a certain look that weld lines have, and just a line of hot glue won't quite make it look that good.
Yeah.
So Sean Illig asked about advantages and disadvantages of different types of paint on different materials.
It's sort of a weird gray area, because especially if you're already priming, then that's going to remove a lot of what's the word? Yeah, it's going to get rid of a lot of problems for you right away. Like, because it doesn't matter if you're using a plastic only paint on metal if you've got a good primer base on it anyway, because your paint's just going to hit paint.
Typically, I've found that the all-purpose general paints tend to work pretty well on most plastics.
Yep.
Although I've been working mostly with sintering, and then on metal, of course, metal kind of takes anything
yep.
you throw at it, and if it flakes away, well, then you got more battle damage.
Yep.
Some of the plastic specific spray paints that have been designed and developed, like Krylon Fusion, I've found do not react that well with Sintra and some other resins,
mm-hmm.
just in the way that they've been formulated to work with certain plastics really well.
For the record, guys, hate other plastics. The other thing about Krylon Fusion and that stuff is that it's actually just got a primer mixed in, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's making it a single coat application product. Now, the thing to know is, and you know this if you do wood staining, that single coat stuff is never as good as doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
So your best bet in the case of most of these plastic applications is just to go ahead and put a little bit of sanding onto it, very, very light, high-grit sandpaper, prime that thing, and then spray it on.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, that will hold much better than any canned application.
Take your time, do it the right way, and then you won't be buying extra cans of paint.
Yep.
I found automotive spray paints tend to go on a little thinner, just because of the application that they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
However, automotive paint does hold quite well.
It does, especially on metal. I mean, it sticks hard.
Oh, yeah, metal too. Yeah.
It also has
a nicer finish.
It can be pricier. Not always pricier, but yeah, it's but I mean, moral of the story is if you're wondering, test.
Yep. Exactly.
Just take a hunk of whatever you're not using, you know, a remnant or just a weird corner you can't use, and slap some paint on it.
Personally, I spray paint on, but
you know what I mean. And yeah, especially if you're doing, and you probably should be doing, if you're doing multiple coats, you know, of different colors, you know, you're trying to get a pattern on there, do the whole thing. Do it like you would be doing your helmet on the scrap, so that way you're going to know exactly what it's going to do when you're actually doing your final paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, that's all the questions that we have from Facebook. Is there anything else you guys want to go over before we sign off for the month?
Do you believe we're going to talk a little bit about Armor Eras?
Yes. Similar to the mixing of animated and movie style weapons and such, era mixing.
As far as that's concerned, you have to be approvable under one set of guidelines. So you can't have be from the legs down be
Crusader.
Crusader, or even modern. Like modern sets, like a modern light set like Boba Fett's got, that from the legs down will not fly as a Crusader.
Yeah, that only works with modern.
Well, I mean, and something to keep in mind is that, you know, you could make the case that, you know, a modern era kit could technically have Crusader era stuff on them.
Well, and mine does, actually. Yeah. The left hand on mine, as you guys may or may not be aware of, listeners, I have the infamous
Frost... You haven't heard of his giant metal hand.
Yeah, the Frost Claw, the left hand of death. It's got like 1,000 different names.
With
but it's
rocket fingers that fling at people.
Yeah, well, only you, Moose. it's a hereditary relic from his family. It's Crusader era, which is why it's all burnt up and stuff.
But on the whole, though... You should probably try to avoid that kind of thing, especially with major components.
Yes.
An heirloom is one thing, but having like half of your armor be Crusader and the other half Neo Crusader doesn't really work. And the reason that we do that is because we don't want fans to be confused.
Yes, and that's the thing is my kit is it's from the elbow down on one arm.
Yeah, yeah. It's a minor.
The rest
component.
Of its movie era.
It's definitely movie era. Yeah. And I run the standard helmet, which is the biggest clue.
Yeah.
If someone wants to ask him about his backstory, they can, and they can find out why he's got that different hand. But 90% of the time, or even higher actually, more likely, people at the convention won't ask, what's your backstory? Where'd you get this part and that part and the other part in character?
Yeah.
Normally they just go, holy crap, look at his hand!
Yeah.
And I mean, there are certain things, like, especially with helmets, like if you're rocking a Super Commando, that still really only lends itself to modern. You know? Yeah. Don't try and make a... definitely don't try and make a Neo Crusader with it, because that just won't work. But
now, Neo Crusader is a very distinct look.
Yeah.
Neo Crusaders are basically soldiers, so they have a uniform.
Yeah, it's in essence one style, except for Candorous Ordo.
Yeah,
basically one style of armor.
But he's special.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a Mandalore.
He's got his own rules.
Yeah. So before we sign off, I just want to take a quick moment to talk to you about how you can help give back to the club. We have a couple different membership levels. You can do a supporter, you can become an auxiliary member, and then you can join the club if you want to as a full member. Supporters get special forum access to our Pepper Curd file database, which has things like the Candorous Ordo armor in it. Auxiliary members get even more. You get like special invites to Merc specific events, official events, and stuff like that. Room blocks at like Celebration 7 that's coming up here in a year or so. Auxiliary memberships for $12. Supporter is anything. If you can give 50 cents if you want to, that's great. Auxiliary members also get to use the forum ad free. So if you don't like those little ads up at the top of the screen, then you can get rid of those by becoming an auxiliary member.
Additionally, just as a point of clarification, all members who are official members gain all of the benefits of all other tiers.
Yeah, so it's really good to have a set of armor. Yeah.
And when you're making that donation, if you choose anonymous, it'll mean that you don't get that little tag beneath your name. So if you care about that, don't choose anonymous. If you don't care,
go anonymous. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And make sure you're using the right area. If you click on the donations tab on our website's menu, that will be a supporter only. To do the auxiliary membership, you actually have to go into your profile and look for the subscribe option, and then you can subscribe and become an auxiliary member right there. And we take PayPal. If you do want to just send in cash or check, preferably check, because cash is, I think, technically illegal in the mail system.
Money order. Money order is the only thing you can do. That's what quote-unquote cash is.
Yeah. So cash system. Through money order. Go to a gas station, go to a bank, get a money order. Send that in. We have a corporate address. You can find that on the forums. Corporate mailing address, I guess. Not really corporate. We're not really corporate, are we?
It's Tom's house.
Technically, we are.
actually, it's Tom's P.O. box, which is for the club. But I have to make sure he checks that, though, because I think...
Yeah, check that before he goes on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't have people sitting out there like, you know, Alaska or something. And they're like, man, I sent it in like 4 weeks ago.
Well, then it should just be arriving when he gets back.
We'll have the address in the podcast description, so you guys will be able to find it there.
Yep. Yeah. And just something, I mean, the ads are there to help support us. We do get a little bit of ad revenue. It helps pay for the site's maintenance costs. We have to pay, like, I think it was like $1,900 a year just to have the server up and running, to keep the forum running. So every little bit helps. If you just can't find the money, or you don't have to feel obligated. If you don't want to, that's fine. But if you keep the ads up, that's great. So I guess that's it. That's the end of the show right there. So we will see you guys next month, hopefully with a lot more cool news. Might have some special guests. So stay tuned.
Bye.
Say bye, everybody.
Woo. Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.